different here than it should be at the Pioneer Home or prison. The opportunity to speak God's word and say, "Thus saith the Lord," is very weighty. And I don't know. I know when Pastor asked me to cover the 11 o'clock hour, I'm sure that there were, my face probably just went completely white, and I wanted to like crawl underneath the desk. And he says, "Just preach the gospel." You know, and it's funny because the truth of the matter is, that's all we should be doing. Taking God's word and giving it for what it is. Just as I tell the men in prison, you know, I'm not here to tell you what my opinion is. I'm here to tell you what the Lord has to give to you for this moment in time. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. And we've heard this passage of Scripture broken down into three different sections many times. But we're going to carry them through in one thought or one theme today, and that being that there is only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. So as we're looking, you know, at this, my desire is for you to really take away verses 21 23, and he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." And then verse 23, he says, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So last Sunday, Pastor talked about Simeon, Pharisee. And we've heard a lot about Pharisees, and we understand that they were pious and that, you know, they were holier than now, and they had all of their ducks in a row, as they thought. But last week, Simeon, as Pastor pointed out, had a lot of pride. And because of his pride, he missed the mark. He missed the understanding of who Christ was. You know, Simeon stood back and he was saying to Christ and actually belittling him, if you will, saying, "You know, if you knew who this woman was that was washing your feet, who's even touching you, you wouldn't accept it." And the challenge is in religion. In our own life, we even need to think about the fact, is that my attitude? Do I think I have it put together? Do I think I have everything going on? Do I know that I'm right and I don't want to listen to truth? Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, we come to you today, and God, just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you and God and the reading of your word. And as we open it up today, Lord, I pray that the truth of the gospel would come out. Father, that the delivery wouldn't be what's heard, but the fact that Christ is the only way to heaven. And he came to this world to die for sinners, die for all of us, and raise again the third day because he conquered death and hell. Just thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's start looking at the first two verses verse 13 and 14 of chapter 7. As we look at this, he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So right off the bat in this passage, we see Christ declaring a statement. He's declaring that there are two paths in this life. There's the broad way that leads to destruction, and there's the straight way, the narrow way. And you notice the word straight there is S-T-R-A-I-T. Not straight as in I picked a straight line to the back wall, but narrow. It's congested. You know, when you look on a map, you'll see straits in the waterways. The idea is that it's constricted. It's not easy. You know, when we enter into this life, we are on the broad path. And Satan wants to tell all the lies and do all the things he can to keep you on that broad path because it's easy. There's no resistance. You just go with the flow. Don't have to change anything. And this life on this broad path is one of death. And understanding that, and understanding that we are headed to destruction is one of the first warning signs, if you will, flashing, hey, you need a change in direction. Romans 5:12, you know, it tells us that wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And it's easy, we can sit there and say, oh, well, you know, if Adam just wouldn't have eaten of the fruit, life would be good. We would all be fine. It wouldn't be an issue. Well, every man has pride in his heart, and somewhere along the line, somebody. If nothing else, I would have. I would have done my own thing. You know, it's what's in our heart. Deceit and bitterness. And sin entered into the world because of Adam, yes, because of his choice. But that has passed on to every single one of us down the line from that day forward. You know, the path to hell is one that, again, it's an easy path. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change. I don't have to worry about anything, right? Well, what's your eternity? Where's your eternity at? You don't have to worry about anything else. Worry about where your eternity's at. Unless we've come to the point of seeking forgiveness through Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, your eternity is in hell. You know, our lives, and while we're here on earth, is a very short time. We will live on for eternity, whether it's eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. That's our choice. We must seek Christ. We must come to Him and ask for forgiveness. You know, one of my favorite verses is John 3:18. If you go there, speaking about this same idea of being on a pathway, a broad way. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So again, we see here the idea, the thought process that I don't have to do anything and I can continue on this pathway to hell. Because it says, he that believeth not leads to death. But if I believe, I'm not condemned. And so when we think about this, it's, you know, it's the moments are ticking by. We say, I got time. I got time to turn to him. I have opportunities. We sit here and we hear the message every Sunday. And so in some respects, I know as a kid, and I speak to you teenagers especially, I know where you're sitting right now. You think, I got eternity to worry about this. I got plenty of time. I'm young. Death is not knocking on my door because I'm young. I'm strong. I got this. I grew up in church. I know where you're sitting right now. And I learned to play the game. Say the right things, do the right things. Well, I know this is what mom and dad expect of me, so when I'm around mom and dad or when I'm at church, around my friends at church, I'm gonna look the part, I'm gonna play the part, I'm gonna act right. But you know, the Bible also tells us that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what that means? That means that the things that are in your mind that no one else sees, no one else knows, is wrong. Desperately wicked. The times that mom and dad ask us to do something and we're like, okay, yeah, I'll go do it. And in our heart and our mind, we're like, I don't want it. You know what I'm talking about. That's wrong. That's sin. One sin is all it takes to go to hell. One. Whether it's the white lie or the ugly thoughts of our parents, one sin is all it takes. Again, going back to this idea of the broad way and you having time to choose. Imagine, if you will, you're on this road trip, right? You're driving down the highway. I guess teenagers, you really don't understand this yet, really. Some of you maybe, but, you know, we're buzzing down the highway doing 65, 70 miles an hour, and we know what exit we got to take, right? Well, San Antonio is a really wonderful place to get on the freeway. And you're sitting there and you're clipping along and you say, oh, I need to have this exit. And I see, you know, warning signs a mile ahead what exit I'm looking for. And I'm going. I know what exit I need to be in, but I'm going to stay in that far left lane because it's faster than that right-hand lane. Clipping along. I'm going along. See a warning sign. I'm going along. Oh, I got plenty of time. It's another half mile. Got plenty of time. There goes another warning sign. Plenty of time. And oh man, I missed it. You can't take the next exit in San Antonio to get back to that exit that you missed. There are no turnarounds. There's once you miss it, you're gone. You're talking about a 15, 20 mile reroute to get back to that point, to where you can go. I'm telling you today, here's a warning sign. You're on the broad path. You've seen the warning signs. You've heard them time and time again come from this pulpit. Christ is the only way to heaven. The broad path leads to destruction. Not making a choice is making a choice. Really, it is. Saying not today is pushing God away. It's only in His mercy that He continues to call us. You know, James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanish away. And this is something that we understand up here really well. When we're outside in the winter, when we're, you know, when we're watching the fireworks and whatnot, we see our breath coming out and it's just like gone. I mean, almost as soon as it leaves your mouth, it's gone. It's just a speck of time that we're on this earth compared to eternity. The other side to that is that in Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He's saying, I'm not always going to strive with man. I'm not always going to be there. We are going to come to a point where we say no enough times that he's going to be like, okay, fine. You're on your own. Do what you want. It's only by his mercy that he daily gives us opportunities to repent. It's only by his mercy that he calls. He's going to come like a thief in the night. You're not going to know when he's going to come. So our life is but a vapor. And eventually he's going to stop calling you because you've resisted him enough. Or we have the other scenario where we know not the day nor the hour when our Lord cometh. It could be in the next 5 seconds. And then what would we do? What would you do? Oh, I wish I would have. Our lives are full of wish I would have. One of my biggest wish I would have is that wish I would have given my life to the Lord when I was young. And not ruined it with things of this world. There's a lot of things in this world that once it's in this steel trap up here, you can't get it out. Sometimes that filth just doesn't go away. And you have to fight the flesh. You know, I was 34 when I got saved, and, you know, again, like I said, I'm grateful that the Lord continued to call me. But oh, that I would have given my life sooner. The next passage that we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 7 is verses 15 through 20. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. He says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And, you know, again, keeping with this whole idea that there's one way to heaven, I don't find it odd that Christ warns us that there's going to be false prophets. There's going to be people that want to lead us astray. You know, and it may not be for the sake of deceitfulness that they want to lead you astray. It may be, they may be pure in their own heart and their motives and what they want to do. But if it does not align with the Word of God, it's not truth. I mean, even when Christ was on the earth, he was dealing with the Pharisees and telling them that they what they had was not truth. In John 5:39 and 40, he's telling them, search the scriptures. Right? He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. False religions and worship and all these things has been around forever, if you will. I mean, Christ points out to these Pharisees, look, you are trusting in your works. You're trusting in the things that you do. Trust in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Christ was telling them. And they just missed the boat. They just totally blew it off, even, if you will. Again, like we talked about Simeon last week and his pride. Their pride had them trusting in things that were wrong. And many false teachers are going to come out and they're going to tell you that salvation is this plus this. If it's anything other than faith in Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross, then it's false. You know, you can keep the whole law, and even if you offend it in one point, you're guilty of all, right? And these Pharisees, you know, some of them were like, oh, well, I've kept all the laws. I've done everything right. And Christ still pointed out to them, well, you lack in this place. As said, faith in anything that we do of ourselves is wrong. Ephesians 2:8-9, you know, verses that we hear frequently and are quoted frequently. As for by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The point being, anything that I do is not going to be good enough. You know, one of my favorite examples to refute the idea of works for salvation is the thief on the cross, right? I mean, he wasn't getting off. He was there till he's going to die. All he did was he repented. He confessed Christ as God, asked for forgiveness. And Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, the idea of his salvation gets rid of the idea of purgatory or universal salvation, you know, where everybody is, you know, inherently good and everybody's going to go to heaven regardless. Yeah. That's false. The idea of baptism for salvation, that one's thrown out the window. He was going to be dead before he was going to get buried. Every idea of works for salvation is thrown away with the man on the cross. And that's where I really want you to, I mean, get it into your heart, get it in your mind today that, you know, I can do things and I can act good and I can try and be nice and do things for people. It makes me feel good. It gives me a warm fuzzy. But that has nothing to do with my salvation. Our final passage today, verses 21 through 23, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There's only one way to heaven. There's going to be many false teachers that distract or take away from the truth of the gospel, but there's only one way. And as we look at this, that last statement should cause anybody that has never come to Christ and asked for forgiveness of their sins, should make you tremble. "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know, we had a man in prison that wanted to argue that Christ would never say, "I never knew you," because Christ knows everything, right? Well, that idea "knew" is that personal. You know, I know my wife. There's a relationship there. That's what Christ is getting at here. He's telling you, "Didn't know you. You're not my own. Not my child. Depart from me. To the lake of fire you go." You know, John 14:6, I quoted this already earlier, but just said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So when we have this idea that we're on the broad path and we're on this way, we've seen the warning signs. You're here today, you're hearing the truth from the gospel that Christ is the only way. You're getting those warning signs. What are you going to do about it? Where are you going to go? Are you going to take the truth of what Christ said, that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me? Are you going to accept that for yourself? Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to be like the people in verse 22 of this passage we just read? "Many will say unto me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But what about all the things that I've done?" See, as a teenager, growing up in church, I prayed a prayer. I did what was expected of me so that I could be looked at like, "Oh, he's a Christian. So we'll let him, you know, we'll let him serve and he can do this and he can do that in the church." It was all about, again, it was about pleasing me, making me feel good. If I would have died at that point in my life, this would have been my argument. Would it stand? Would it stand? No. But what about, "Oh, but I, you know, I used to go help the ladies bring their babies in when out of the rain, you know, before services, and oh, I was in the choir, and I did this, and I did that." Does it matter to God? No. It doesn't matter anything. Sit there and snicker. Sit there and snicker and giggle about it. The truth of the matter is, If that's what you're trusting in, if that's what you're trusting in, then it's false. Again, if you've prayed a prayer, was it in your heart, Lord, I know that your wrath is upon me because of sin, and I don't want that wrath, and so I'm just going to pray a prayer so I'm okay? I tell you, friend, God is not a fire escape, because He knows the heart. He knows the intent of the heart and the intent of your prayer to Him. He knows whether it's a humble heart repenting, knowing that, yes, I've offended a holy and a righteous God. Or if it's, well, I heard this guy preaching about hell and I don't want to go to hell, so yeah, let me go forward and I'm going to pray a prayer so I can be right with God. It's not about a magic prayer. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. It's not about our works. It's not about anything we could do. If that was the case, then in Matthew 26:39, if it was about works, if there was something that I could do, then, you know, when Christ was in the garden, He says, and He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." So, you know, if it was possible for me to do something to gain salvation, then Christ wouldn't have had to die on the cross. If there was anything that I could do, if there was anything that you could do to gain salvation, then right here when Christ is praying to the Father, if you will, let the cup pass from me, it would have passed. Because it wasn't, you know, well, the Bible says that it pleased the Father to bruise Him. Because that was the only passage, the only way that the sin debt could be forgiven. So there was no other way. Beginning of time, it was planned. Christ was going to be that propitiation for our sin. He was going to be that ultimate sacrifice. He was going to be the only one that could pay the way. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among which men can be saved." You know, false religion, false teachers, doing it my own way is something that has been going on since the day of Cain and Abel. There was a sacrifice that was required. Cain said, "Well, this is what I'm going to bring." And it displeased the Lord, right? It all comes down to the fact that God designed a way to have that relationship with you fixed. If you've never come and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never come to that point in your life where you realize that my sin has offended a holy and righteous God and that I am accountable and that He has to forgive me based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, if you never come to that point, then what he says in verse 23 of Matthew is what you're going to face in that final judgment day. Depart from me, for I never knew you. You know, one of the things that we trust in when we open up God's Word is that there's a promise in God's Word that it won't return void. And we sit here and we say, well, how is it not returning void when people resist? When people say, not today. It's like the calluses that you gain on your hand when you're working. Your hands, you know, the first, you know, like this weekend we're going to go out and we're going to rake and everybody's going to end up with blisters on their hands because they haven't done anything with their hands all winter long. But then as we, you know, rake and do different things throughout the summer, the calluses build up and our hands toughen up and we can, you know, withstand it, right? There's a callus on your soul, on your heart. The first time, you know, our heart is really tender to the gospel as it's given out. And our heart is broken and we say, oh man, but not today. I don't want to go forward because I know that, you know, pastor says every head's bowed and every eye's closed and no one's looking around. But I know my friends are looking and I don't want them to see me go forward. Or we say, well, I've already made a profession of faith. I've already said that I'm saved. What would people think if I went forward now? You name the excuse, I can give it to you. Because I did them. I lied to myself, and it just got easier and easier and easier to say no. Where are you at? Have you come to that point? Have you accepted Christ? Or are you just sitting there saying, not today? Let me wait. I got time. I know teenagers that lost their life. I know people that in their 20s lose their life driving on the road and something bad happens. You know not the day nor the hour that the Lord may require your life from you. You know, it's like the rich man that said, oh, well, I got all this stuff. I'm going to build this barn. I'm going to build that barn. And I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry because my life is set. I don't have to work another day of my life. And what did God say? He said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. Then whose shall they be? Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, we come to you and we thank you for the truth of your word, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the fact that in our selfishness and in our pride, you still call. I just thank you for the opportunity again to be in your house, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.